Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We are thankful and appreciative for your tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things found in God's holy and in my divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, certainly we would give due consideration to any Bible question, any Bible subject that you might have on your mind. Simply let us know by either using the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. This being Wednesday, we'd like for you to know that at 7 o'clock, you can log on to www.eastabbotville.org and go to the live feed on that page, and you can obtain a hard copy of the outline that we'll be using in our Bible study this evening. Also, in the live feed section of the website, you can also click on a line that will take you to the YouTube channel, and there you can both see and hear the study that we will engage in this evening. We've been doing a study on answering the religious errors of our family, friends, and neighbors. And in our study tonight, we want to be looking at something that many people believe, and that is that man does not have an immortal soul. We want to see whether or not that which many people believe is truly in harmony with God's word, or is it not? So keep this in mind tonight at 7 o'clock. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You know, men fear the written word. Throughout history, men who preferred ignorance over enlightenment have sought to destroy books that frustrate that purpose. When King Jehoiakim, when he learned of the contents of the scroll of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah was calling for Judah to repent, he slashed the book with a knife and he burned the remains. It's there that we read, "It happened when Jehuda had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth." The Chinese government has a ban on Bibles and Christian study material, any kind of material. The former Taliban regiment in Afghanistan, they prohibited the reading of religious tracts, foreign newspapers, and Western literature. But we understand that books, and as well as they understand that books are the vehicles of thought. They present new ideas that sometimes threaten obsolete traditions of men. They contain information that changes ignorant masses into enlightened, self-governing people. In fact, some books outline truths that provoke readers to modify speech and their behavior. So, since books generate thoughts, and we know that thoughts are what motivates our actions, it's understandable why books frighten men that don't want thoughts and actions changed. But you know, of all books written since creation, the Word of God has the greatest power to change the hearts of men. And that would explain why that it is the most universally feared book of all time, a source of terror for those that are afraid of being changed, and a course of reverence, however, for those that have been changed. So the first part of that verse that we read to begin our study, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, said, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." The context that we read that verse 12 is in, it requires that the readers understand the word of God. And the word of God is the written scriptures. Notice what verse 2 of Hebrews 4 says. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the words which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." We know in passages like Revelation chapter 19, it's in verse 15 that it says, "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he would strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God." So the sword is the word that comes from the Lord's mouth, and it is the weapon of offense that we use not so much as to defend as it is to offend, to advance. Notice this is a statement found when we look at Ephesians chapter 6. Notice what we read here in verse 17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So it is that it is the weapon, as we said, of offense that Christians must use in the war against sin and error. The inspired scriptures, they contain a living book that's valid, it's relevant, until the end of time. It's not a dead, outdated document. In fact, notice what Peter calls it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let's notice verse 23. "And having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." So truly, it's incorruptible. It lives and it abides forever. The word of God is the divinely ordained authority for a person's life in whatever time and in whatever place that he may live. And in addition, let's understand that the passing of time does not reduce the effect of the scriptures. The same word of God still saves or it condemns souls by the power of the Almighty God that gave it. It has no expiration date. The word of God will always have the power to convict the world of sin, to convert the sinner, to correct the erring, to comfort the discouraged, and to confirm those that are righteous. But the other part of that verse, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, says, "And sharper than any two-edged sword." You know, the first century Roman soldier used a sword that was designed for thrusting and penetrating. It was sharp along both edges. That made it easier to thrust straight forward. Since a blade that was sharp only on one side, it might be slowed or it might turn more by that side that was dull. So the soldier's intent was to reach the vital organs, to mortally wound his opponent. And so a two-edged weapon was well suited for that purpose. What we have here in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 illustrates the penetrating nature of the Word of God by comparing it to this well-honed instrument of offense, the two-edged sword. The Word of God has no dull edge, nor is it vulnerable to deflect or to hinder its penetration into the inner man. It's designed to go straight to the vitals of a human being. The other part of that verse in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's not the intent of the Hebrew writer to suggest that the Word of God divides the soul from the spirit, but rather that it can penetrate and open both the soul and the spirit. And those terms, soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, helps us as the reader to see the thoroughness with which the Word of God enters into and exposes our inner person, our inner man. Then the other part of Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So after penetrating to the inner man, the scriptures enable us to analyze what we see that's been exposed. Stripped of the protective layers of denial, rationalization, well, let me use another word. The justification that we use for the things that we do, all of that is laid open. Our reasoning and our motives are seen for what they really are. So we as a person, as a human being, is confronted with our true spiritual condition, and hopefully it will motivate us and it will force us to deal with our real self. This is not a painless process by any means. A sword thrust is a death blow. And so the sword of the Word of God is to put to death the old man of sin. And that's why people of this world, worldly individuals, are often reluctant to let that man of sin die. So no wonder mankind fears the potent, the present, the penetrating Word of God. It will not permit them to hide from themselves. And yet, however man may hide from the scriptures in the here and the now, and we can do that. We can hide from the scriptures as we live in this life. But we will not hide from God nor His Word in the hereafter. And that gives us to another verse. We read Hebrews 4 and analyzed Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Let's look now at Hebrews 4 and verse 13. For just after finishing what he says in verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Look what verse 13 says. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Friends, hide as we will from God's Word today, we will face it in the day of judgment. We will give an account. We appreciate so much you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.